The dispute came to court in March of 2012 when the mountain resort filed suit, contending it still had a valid lease on over 3,000 acres, the bulk of its ski mountain, but Talisker Land Holdings contended the lease had expired. Last year, it reached an agreement with Vail to be the operator of Talisker's ski resort canyons and to be the tenant on the disputed ski terrain. The multitude of motions before Judge Harris basically boiled down to three requests from the mountain resort. First, they asked the judge to officially reconsider his ruling in November of 2012, where he threw out all but two of the mountain resort's original claims and determined that the resort failed to strictly comply with the terms of its lease. Under that agreement, the mountain resort, or PCMR, had to give written notice that it was extending the lease 60 days before the lease expired on April 30 of 2011. The resort failed to meet that deadline of March 1st of that year. In pleading for reconsideration, the mountain resort's attorney said their situation was more complicated than older legal precedents where a landlord could simply drop a tenant who was not compliant and seek out another. PCMR argued that when the lease was set up in 1975, it was a complex deal among several parties who contemplated the lease would run for 76 years. But the judge noted the lease was subject to being renewed 20 years at a time. And he wrote, if there should be an exception to existing case law for so-called complex transactions, the Utah Supreme Court should decide that, not him. The mountain resort also argued that the Park City community depends on the base area, which it owns, acting as the gateway to Talisker's ski terrain as one integrated ski resort. It claims that was promised to Park City Municipal when the city approved development in 1998, annexed the ski hill in 2007, and placed a deed restriction on the terrain. However, the judge ruled there's no specific language in any of those agreements that requires the base area and ski terrain to be operated in tandem. The judge rejected the motion for reconsideration. In its second major contention, the mountain resort claimed Talisker waived its right to strictly enforce the lease or made statements to lead the mountain resort to think the lease was being extended. The resort cited several instances where John Cumming, the CEO of Powder Corporation, parent company of the mountain resort, wrote to Talisker head Jack Bistresser and talked about the two men working together for decades. The two companies discussed on-mountain improvements, including an interconnect agreement lasting up to 999 years. But Judge Harris said there was no unambiguous statement from Talisker that it was waiving its rights. He said the assumption still existed that the mountain resort had to timely renew its lease. He also noted that a mountain resort attorney conceded in court, quote, there's no evidence that Talisker said, hey, you know that notice provision in the contract? Don't bother complying with it. The judge said further evidence was the weekend of April 29th in 2011 when mountain resort officials and attorneys searched for a letter extending the lease. The judge wrote, quote, a party in actual reliance upon an assurance that no letter is necessary does not spend 3 days frantically searching for evidence of the existence of that letter. The mountain resort's third major assertion was that its rights under the lease were violated when Talisker transferred control of the ski mountain to Vail. The resort contends the ski mountain was either covered by a prohibition of sale or the resort had a right of first refusal option to buy the land. Judge Harris, however, ruled the mountain resort was a holdover tenant from April 30th of 2011 to August of 2013 when it got a notice to quit from the landlord. The judge determined that during the holdover tenancy, the right of first refusal and sale provisions no longer applied. The resort also objected that even before its troubles with the lease, the equity firm Flera bought an interest in 2010 in the Talisker Canyons Finance Corporation. The judge, though, said that did not constitute a sale of the ski terrain, which was still owned by Talisker Land Holdings. For KPCW, I'm Rick Broff.